We're going to go to John 21 very briefly. After these things, verse 21 and chapter 21, verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael and of Cana and Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, we go also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Who likes to fish? Who likes to catch nothing? Nothing. They caught nothing. That's what the scripture says. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no, nothing in the boat. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. I want to talk just briefly. Have you tried? Have you tried? Have you tried? Jesus, bless us today as we come to hear your word. Open our minds and our hearts to your word this morning. Touch every family represented here. Bless our church. Bless everyone who is out this morning. Keep us and protect us. We give you glory in Jesus' name. Everybody said in Jesus' name. God bless you. You may be seated. Have you tried? Have you tried? I don't believe that anything Jesus did was by accident. I don't believe that anything Jesus does in our lives is by accident. Even down to what seems as a casual type of scene like the one that we just read in the scriptures. This was after the resurrection. The women had been drawn to the tomb. They weep, they cry, they lamented, they were sorrowful. They were in mourning, but the men felt betrayed. They were hurt. They were weeping too, but they felt betrayed as if the Lord had broken a promise. They are disappointed. They are dissatisfied. They're a little bit upset. And how could this happen? Things just did not go as they expected. Anybody ever been there before in your life? Things didn't go as you expected. You expected one course and you're on the exact opposite course. It didn't go as they expected. So they're in a depressed mood. They're upset about the horrific events leading to and bringing them to the death of Jesus and the crucifixion and this whole little scene of their lives that happened. So Simon Peter in verse 3, he decides, says, hey, I'm going fishing. I'll see you guys later. I'm going fishing. And six more of the disciples, they say, we also go with thee. We're going fishing too. They didn't waste any time. They went fishing and they went forth and they entered the little ship immediately and they threw themselves into what had been their everyday task before the Lord had called them. And verse 3 in the second half, it says, and that night they caught nothing. Nothing. They caught absolutely nothing. Some of my earliest memories as a boy on a boat was on a shrimp boat with my grandfather and my dad and shrimping for hours and hours and hours and sometimes all night long. And I have to admit, I'd go crawl in the bunk and sleep. Just a little guy. And it was always so exciting when I would get up and there would be crabs everywhere to sort and shrimp to sort and fish to sort and to put in the basket for market and to cull the stuff that had to go over the side. But when I would wake up and there was nothing, well, geez, what have y'all been doing? Well, we've been fishing. They worked all night and they caught nothing, absolutely nothing. Verse 4, when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. See, we don't know how long exactly that Jesus watched them from the seashore, but he was there long enough to know that they had cast their net on just one side of the boat. He knew that. He'd been watching them. Can I tell you, God knows right where you're at. He knows right where you're going through. He knows what you're dealing with. All the night long, they toiled, tossing and pulling the net in and out, in and out, in and out. The same side. It became a repetition. It became monotonous. It became just the task at hand. We've got to do this. We're going to make some money. We're going to have some food for our family. They kept repeating the activity over and over and over, getting the same result. Nothing. They caught nothing. When Jesus was sure that they could see him, he calls out, verse 5, then Jesus saying to them, "Children, have ye any meat? Have ye any meat? Do you have anything to show?" They reply, "No, we sure don't." Then the Lord said something that I've read 1,000 times over and over, but it took on a new meaning of reality. Sometimes your set of circumstances and your situation and your trials, you get in the Word and you begin to see things a little bit differently. He said, "Cast the net on the right side of the ship and ye shall find." Have you tried? Have you tried? In other words, try the other side. It hasn't worked for you this way. Try the other side. Get plugged into what God's telling you to do. Have you only tried this one side? Have you only tried this one way and you have nothing to show for it? It's obvious it didn't work. Have you tried the other side? John 21 and verse 6, and he said unto them, "Cast the net to the right on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find." They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw for the multitude of fishes. Have you tried? Have you tried the other side? Jesus was not just using this as a way to reveal himself to them. He was underscoring a great principle in life and of life. There is always another side. There is always another side. The leaf has two sides. A coin has two sides. The weather has many sides. Could be sunshine today and rain tomorrow. Weeping may endure for the night, but the other side, there is another side. Joy is coming in the morning. Hear me this morning. Weeping may endure. It might look as black and dark as all get out, but God has joy. There is a silver lining, and behind that silver lining is rays of hope and love and mercy and forgiveness and a way to make it to heaven. Have you tried the other side? So often we toil in the night, all night, the night of our lives. But have we tried the other side? Jesus asked an important question. "Children, have ye any meat?" You have toiled all night, but do you have anything to show for it? Has it accomplished anything for you? Was the work worth your time? If the answer is like the disciples, "I have toiled all night, but I have nothing," maybe we should try the other side. You may have been harboring unforgiveness or an unforgiving spirit. Not something you've had trouble with all night long, but something that's been eating at you for years. Something that's just been gnawing away on the back burner, so to speak. My grandma used to put a pot of meat on the back burner, and if she did that, you knew that piece of meat is probably tough as a board. And she'd let it boil and boil and boil. Seemed like forever. Sometimes the little things are on the back burner that agitate you, that just gnaw at you, that you just it's just there. You go to bed at night harboring feelings of anger, frustration towards someone that's hurt you, offended you, betrayed your confidence. Like the disciples, you feel betrayed, you're disappointed, you feel dissatisfied, a little upset, things just didn't go as you expected. You wake with these same feelings in the morning, it's like a weight strapped onto your back. You just can't move on. You keep pushing the replay button over and over and over in your mind. The frustration, the anger, the hurt, over and over. Things you see, people you see, just keep reminding you of this hurt or this incident of the past. And you can't get in the present because of the past. The past becomes your taskmaster. The past becomes your haunting. You can't reach forth for those things which are ahead because you can't forget the things which are behind you. Like a cancer, unforgiveness will eat away at your dedication and consecration. It'll zap you of your joy, and your joy is your strength, and it will destroy your witness, your testimony, your very excitement of life. It destroys the very biblical definition of love. John 13 and 35, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Have you tried? Have you tried? Unforgiveness turns into resentment. Resentment to dislike, dislike to hatred. And Proverbs 10 and 12 says, hatred stirreth up strife, and strife sows discord, and discord destroys unity. It causes heartaches and indigestion and nightmares, and dispatches innocent people to cry in their pillows with hurt and frustration. It topples governments. It kills churches. It wrecks marriages. It ruins careers and destroys reputations. It causes nightmares in your mind. Generates grief. Jesus watches from the shores of heaven. He will eventually ask, children, have you any meat? In other words, do you have anything to show for your actions? What have you gained? Is all the remorse and guilt really worth it? Has it been productive in your witness? Have you tried? Have you tried? Has it made a difference in your Christ-like desire? Do you have anything to show for it? Verse 6, and he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. Why not try the other side? Why not try the other? Try forgiveness. Try a... I'm sorry, I messed up. Let's get over this. Let's work together. Let's be unified. Let's win the kingdom of God and help people reach heaven. Let's spread the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Why not try the other side? Extend a little bit of mercy. I'm preaching to myself this morning. You got to extend mercy when you don't want to extend mercy. You've got to be kind when you don't want to be kind. I'm telling you the truth. I want to lash. I want to be like David. I want to spill their blood. And that little scripture keeps pinging my head. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And I've argued with God about that. God, why? I want to help you with that. I would do a good job. You got to give it to God. You got to try the other side. You got to let go of hurt and pain. And you don't understand why things are happening, but you just got to keep pressing forward. You got to keep moving forward. You got to keep standing on the Word of God and the things of God. And nobody else might know your heart or the truth or believe you. God does. And if you'll just try the other side, he'll see you through. I'm telling you, that vengeance thing still gets my blood boiling. God, let me help you out. But you gotta let it go. And sometimes the hardest thing you'll ever do is just let it go. Just let it go. Satan, I bind you in the net. You're not going to haunt me anymore. You're not going to torment me anymore. I'm letting this stuff go. I'm giving it to God. That's what you got to do. And just say, God, you order my steps. And if you want my path to go this way, okay, I'm going this way. And if you stop me and turn me and put me this, okay, God. Have you tried? Have you tried the other side? Jesus on the cross, he prayed. He came to his own, and it was his own that crucified him. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What love. What love. Have you ever thought about this? I have a lot. If they crucified Christ and he was without spot, without blood, he'd done nothing wrong. I gotta quit feeling sorry for myself. They killed him. He was ultimate purity and love, and he let them kill him. He laid down his life willingly. We're all up fighting for our lives. It's when you just let go and say, okay, God, okay, I let it go. That's when he'll, I'm telling you, I've experienced this very week. That's when he will wrap his arms around you and just hold you. It's okay. You're going to make it through. I'm going to make a way. I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor a seed begging for bread. I am more than a conqueror. I am victorious in Christ Jesus. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I'm going to try the other side. No more hate. No more anger. No more frustration. If you can't find a reason to forgive, forgive because Jesus did on the cross. Forgive them because they know not what they do. John 13, 34, Jesus is speaking here. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Luke 6 and 27, but I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them that hate you. Wow. Bless them. Pray for them. It don't hurt to give them over to God either. God, you just bless them and take care of them. And God, you bless me and take care of me. Saying, I saw an advertisement of a magazine several years ago. Said, can you guess who I am? I have no respect for justice, no mercy for defenseless humanity. I ruin without killing. I tear down homes. I break hearts and wreck lives. You will find me in the pews of the pious, as well as in the haunts of the unholy. I gather strength with age. I have made my way where greed, distrust, and dishonor are unknown. Yet my victims are as numerous as the sands of the sea, and often as innocent. I am more deadly than the screaming shell of the cannon. I win without killing. I travel on the wings of the wind. No innocence is strong enough to intimidate me. No purity is pure enough to discourage me. I have no regard for truth, no respect for justice, no mercy for the defenseless. It ended by saying, I never forget and seldom forgive. We've got to forgive. We've got to forgive. We've got to forgive. There was a sign on a church in our community here in the last year. I won't tell you the church, but it said, come in without knocking and leave the same way. And that's how people are nowadays. Just whatever. I don't care. However. Whatever comes, comes. Whatever goes, goes. It matters. Have you tried the other side? God, have mercy on us all. Children, have you any meat? Have you any meat? Why not try the other side? If you keep casting on the same side, doing the same thing over and over again, eventually it's going to destroy you. In the Bible, we read jealousy is cruel as a grave. The coals thereof are coals of fire. Have you tried the other side? If you keep casting on the same side, eventually it will destroy you. Do you have any meat? No, we hadn't caught anything. We haven't caught anything. God's looking for a glorious church. God's looking for a church that doesn't have spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it's got to be a holy church without blemish, without spot. God's looking for men and women who are hungry for His word and His love and His... You know, what possible difference could it make to put the net in on the right side? I was telling the kids in the back, I fished in Alaska on they have a big spool. It's like a big winch, and it's as big as probably half of this whole area right here. It's as wide as this area, and it'll have a giant net on it. It'll be taller than me, probably 8 or 9 feet tall, and it has a huge net, and we'd back it up, and we'd drop the net, and we'd pull forward, and it's like a giant gill net, and the fish would come in with the tide, and they'd hit the net, and you'd see the net start bouncing and fish everywhere, and they'd start reeling in the net and backing up the ship. We'd stand at the back of the ship and you're pulling fish like this all day long for hours. You'd repeat the process, drop it back down. You're pulling, your arms get huge, you're just tired, you're sore, things hurt. But it's exciting when there's fish in that net and they're flopping and they're shaking and you're pulling and your adrenaline gets up. And how many can I out-pull him? I'm going to work harder than my shipmate. And you're pulling fish and you're making money. Because every fish you get a percentage of. Hallelujah. I'm making money. Yeah, I'm going to keep pulling. But when you pull that net in and there's bull kelp in it. And there's seaweed and there's trash and there's limbs and there's junk in it and no fish. And you're pulling stuff out. Stupid net. Stupid. Where are the fish at? Can't believe this is happening to me. Not making a dime. You're going in the hole because then you're having to repair net. You're having to put out money. Not fun. But when that net's full, it's the same in the kingdom of God, in the house of God. When that net's full, when I see guests and I see you and I see me and we're here to worship in spirit and truth, it's just like those fish in that net. You start getting, hallelujah, we've come to have church. We're going to have a good time in Jesus today. Hallelujah. Somebody's going to sing and play. We're going to be victorious. We're going to get over stuff that we've dealt with this week. We're going to lay down the spirit of heaviness. We're going to pick up the garment of praise. We're going to move victorious. Move forward. Move forward. Have you tried? Have you tried? I promise you, at some point in your life, you are going to face something that you're going to have to get over. And you're going to have to try the other side. These guys are professional fishermen. We put the net out. We put the net out. Fish come to the net. They're going to hit the net because of the current. Got to be in the right spot. Putting it out on the right or the... Okay, I get, but they were obedient. They put it out. And they caught a multitude that they couldn't pull in. Fish after fish after fish. Sometimes God puts us in situations where it seems like there's no answer. We've tried everything. We thought we knew what needed to be done, and it worked before, so we think we already know how to do this, and it'll be the same thing. Oh, no. No, you gotta listen to God. And now someone is telling us the simplistic answer that drives a wall in our minds. It's like, wait a minute, just try the other side. Stop what you're doing. Do it this way. We've been fishing on the left side, and now we're going to fish on the right side. You think that's really going to make a difference? But they didn't question. They did. Living for God takes action on your part. I can't make it to heaven because I have an awesome pastor. I can't make it to heaven because we have great music. I've got to make it to heaven because I take action steps to get my heart right with God. Because I say, God, forgive me. God, wash me. God, cleanse me. As the musicians come this morning, God, make me a new man. Make me a new creature. Create in me a clean heart, oh God. I say this all the time in prayers. God, set a watch before my lips. Let the key be love, joy, and peace. I want to be a peacemaker. I don't want to make people mad. I want to love people. I want people to see the light of God shining in my life. I don't understand what all happens to everybody or even to myself, but I know I serve a God. If I'll just keep trying, and if I'll listen when he says, put the net on the right side, just do it. Just do it. And trust him to see you through. Cast the net on the right side, and ye shall find. Have you any meat? I wonder if you'd stand to your feet all over the building. The psalmist, the man after God's own heart, said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Paul says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Psalms 104, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Jesus is asking, have you any meat? What do you have to show for your actions, for your works? Faith without works is dead. Has indifference creeped in? Has complacency creeped in? Has just going through the motions of letting out the net and pulling in the net, not seeing anything harvested, got a hold of your life? I wonder this morning if you would just think about this. Listen to me. Take the hand of your neighbor and step out of the pew where you're at and come forward and just say, God, I don't want to keep doing just the monotonous same thing over and over and over again. I want to advance in your kingdom. I want to advance in your mercy and your love. Come on. Would you come? Would you come this morning? Why not try the other side? Acts 1 and 8, he'll give you power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You've got to take an action. You've got to do something. You know, in order to go fishing, you've got to prepare. You've got to have a fishing license. First of all, you're going to get a ticket. You've got to have gear. You've got to have hooks. You've got to have weight. There are guys here in this church that walk a mile to fish. They took me out there, walk almost a mile and a half, and they don't bring a weight with them. Yeah, I got one. Hello? Won't name any names, Brother Douglas, Brother Johnson. I did name names, didn't I? I'm sorry. But you got to prepare. You got to be ready. My dad used to always tell me, if you wait to prepare, when opportunity comes, you're too late. But if you prepare, when opportunity arrives, you're ready. Can I tell you this morning, I want to be prepared for when Jesus comes back. And it will not be long. Jesus Christ is coming. Now you've stepped out of the pew. You've made your way to the front. Now let's just close our eyes and lift our hands. Lift your neighbor's hand. Let's just begin to talk to Jesus. Lord, we love you this morning. God, if there's anything that would hold us back, any frustration or hurt or pain that would keep us from being the men and women of God that we're supposed to be, forgive us right now. Change us, Lord. Open our hearts, open our minds. God, if old habits have creeped back in or old desires have creeped back in, wash us in your blood. Forgive us right now, Lord. Refill us with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that comfort, that guide, that friend. Order our steps. Order my steps, God. I've been changed. Come on, let God change you this morning. God, change my heart this morning. Vengeance is yours, God. It's not mine.
Deliver.
Oh, God, help us to forgive. As you forgive us, help us to forgive. Touch our hearts, touch our lives, every family represented. Let the power of the Holy Ghost surge upon us.
And favor.
Go before us, God. Your love and your mercy and your grace.
Right now.
Right now. Come on, right now is your moment.